Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, May 22nd, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV.
Sherman Skolnick, political activist, died today at his home in Chicago, Illinois, age 73.
Right. I'm sure many of you out there know that Sherman Skolnick was a longtime community activist. He exposed government corruption all through the 1960s and 70s. He hosted a television show called Broadside. He also was the founder of the Citizens Center to clean up the courts.
Citizens Committee.
Citizens Committee to clean up the courts. And in the early 1970s, he was instrumental in forcing and exposing Illinois Governor Otto Kerner on a variety of charges, bribery, perjury. Kerner ended up resigning from office and actually went to jail for quite a number of years.
Right, he got indicted.
Yes. Later on, into the 80s and 90s, and up to the present day, Skolnick also entered the area of hardcore conspiracy theory and conspiracy research. He was a frequent guest on Lenny Bloom's Cloak and Dagger radio show, and regrettably, the black mark on his career came right towards the end of it when he hooked up with this cadre of questionable characters. And they started running a series of stories that were unverifiable, unsourced, very sensationalized. And I think what it did was really give a black eye or cast a pallor over what was otherwise a very unique career.
Right. He did have a lot of achievement and success in his early stages of his career.
Right. And we do have a story about Mr. Skolnick. When we were doing a radio show on the Reality Radio Network, we had booked him to appear one night. I believe our show was at 9 o'clock back in those days, 9 o'clock at night. And about 5 minutes before we were ready to go on air, we called up the guest, Mr. Skolnick, as we do all our guests, just say, hey, y'all, you ready, and so forth. And Sherman Skolnick was flipping out. And the reason why is that we sent all our guests the numbers on a calling card.
Right. It was a brand new phone card, and Sherman couldn't figure out how to use the card, even though we gave him instructions repeatedly.
Yeah.
And it was very easy. So he started yelling and flipping out and cursed us out and then hung up on us about 1 minute before airtime.
Yeah. And we told him, we said, well, if you can't figure out this card, just call into the show yourself without using the card. And whatever the bill is, we'll reimburse you for it, because none of our guests, of course, paid for
the
phone call.
He started screaming that we were trying to bamboozle him.
Yeah. And he thought that we were trying to rip him off and that we were gonna put the bill or make his citizens committee foot the bill for this show. And so here it is, 1 minute before airtime, and Skolnick starts screaming, flipping out, swearing, hangs the phone up, says he's not coming on the show.
And that was our experience with Sherman.
That's what it was. And the thing I was thinking was, how is this guy supposed to be exposing the new world order and the government at its highest levels when he can't even figure out how to use a calling card?
Well, worse than that is paranoia, ran so deep. He was seeing conspiracies in little things like that.
Yeah, it was a conspiracy that we didn't want to foot the phone call, so we gave him a bogus calling card so he would have to eat the bill. It was pretty amazing. And we've heard this from quite a number of other radio show hosts that said this guy was very, very difficult to deal with. And we just want to send our condolences out to his family, relatives, his friends, acquaintances, colleagues, and
Sherman Skolnick is officially out of the political conspiracy head game that's going on.
Age 73. Also, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, we're going to appear on Frank Whalen's Frankly Speaking radio show. Mm-hmm. That's on RBN. Wednesday night at 6 o'clock p.m., we're going to appear on Visigoths from the Grassy Knoll. And Bill Broombaugh is going to appear on this show Friday. He was originally scheduled for today, but we want to talk about the Da Vinci Code, so we're going to get to that in a couple minutes, and also something we're going to get to in a few minutes is we want to thank everybody for their feedback about Friday's show.
Wow.
This was the article and also the radio show that asked, is the 9/11 Truth Movement sponsored by the Israeli lobby? And we really didn't know what the reaction was going to be.
Nope.
When we aired this show, and I would say 90% of the feedback was very positive, wouldn't you?
No, it's phenomenal, and we appreciate your feedback, so keep it coming.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but first of all, we have our Wing TV film critic, Mr. Ellen Kirkpatrick, on the line, and he went to see The Da Vinci Code, I believe it was Saturday afternoon, and Mr. Kirkpatrick is not only a two-time Emmy Award winner, but he's made numerous independent films during a 20-year career in New York City, and his review appears on the Wing TV homepage. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Ellen Kirkpatrick to Wing TV. How are you doing, Ellen?
Hello, sir.
Hi, Ellen.
All right. Let's get down to it. The Da Vinci Code, the blockbuster book, now a blockbuster movie. Over the weekend, Ellen, it grossed $77 million domestically, $224 million worldwide. By all reports, it was the second largest opening film for a weekend in history of the movies. Your reaction to The Da Vinci Code?
Well, those numbers will go down very, very quickly. You know, a couple years ago that they had Mel Gibson's Christ film, and that did the same thing, but it stayed up week after week,
uh-huh.
and was one of the largest grossing films in the world. But that doesn't matter. Anyhow, people love to go to the movies to besmirch the Lord Jesus Christ, and they probably went instead of going to church.
Yeah. Now, from what I've heard on the radio, there's a guy named Ian Punnett who was sitting in for Art Bell on the Coast to Coast AM radio show. He's very much a religious figure and was actually in the seminary. His reaction to the movie was one word: boring. How about what's
boring?
Your take? Boring.
Boring it was. All you see, from beginning to end, they're running around in darkened churches and museums, and they're shooting guns at each other, and they pass the real Mona Lisa.
Uh-huh.
And the real Mona Lisa is supposed to be Da Vinci in drag. Da
uh-huh.
Vinci in drag.
Uh-huh.
Rot like this. And the fact that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene.
Uh-huh.
And we're hearing that Ron Howard is in hiding. I mean, this film would really be good if it wasn't really so small.
Uh-huh.
But he's in hiding, and he's just his heart is broken over the bad reviews it got.
Uh-huh.
Alan, you hated this movie. Your reviews tend to be very controversial and draw
uh-huh.
a lot of strong responses from the people who read our website and check out our show. So, can you please explain to people right now the tone you took in your review this time, because it's pretty confrontational?
Well, it was just a crummy film, and these people that made it, of course, are Christ haters that most people are in the whole world, who leave a blood trail of, they're cafeteria Catholics.
Uh-huh.
That's what they are. They change with the times.
Yeah. Well, Ellen,
and anything that's rotten about the Lord Jesus, they'll flock to it.
Yeah. Now,
but here's one review I have that gives it 5 stars. One idiot gives it 5 stars. But the vast majority of reviews are very, very bad. I mean, to say the least.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
They just trample it to death.
Yeah.
And so it should be.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of Tom Hanks, but the last movie we did see of his, it was called Catch Me If You Can. He was in it with Leonardo DiCaprio. And actually, he turned in a very good performance. A very, what would you say, straight and narrow. Tom Hanks did in that movie.
Oh, really?
Catch Me If You Can. What do you have to say about his opinion or his performance in this film, The Da Vinci Code?
It's horrible. The whole picture is just close. It's like a Spielberg picture.
Uh-huh.
It's close-ups of ugly, stupid people, including Hanks. all the blasphemy. Uh-huh. And it's two things. It's a picture that's big, and you say 77 million people went to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, it's small, and it has no significance whatsoever, because when this film is turning to ashes, 1,000 years from now, Christians will still be here.
Uh-huh.
This is just a bunch of poop. And this Dan Brown, he's part of a whole talk about secret societies.
Uh-huh.
He's one of these jerks who run the theological schools up and down the East Coast. They're all atheists.
Uh-huh.
They teach theology to our children, but they don't believe a word of it and just chuckle over it.
This couldn't just be a movie, right?
The whole thing is a flim-flam, and
theology?
Not worth your time. Mm-hmm. Don't, like, the picture is 148 minutes long, and if you just want to, 48 minutes of torture, just go see this film. I just kept, my head kept falling down onto my shoulder, and I had to push it back up. To keep up with the boringness that was going on in the picture.
Well,
and they have people. There's all kinds of flagellation in it. There's this albino, whoever he is, but you don't know who the characters are.
Uh-huh.
He's from OPC.
And this albino flagellates himself, and there's all kinds of bishops and cardinals, and they're all concerned, and they even have, get this, they discover signs of the swastika, and that the swastika is supposed to be really the cross.
Uh-huh.
It's the cross bent into a swastika.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
One can only think that people who hate Christians made this film, namely Jews.
Okay, Alan, you did a review on another religious film last year, and that was Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. How would you compare The Da Vinci Code to The Passion of
now,
the Christ?
Now, there was a picture. There was a picture for the ages, and gobs of Christians, 70s, it had a good... I hate to talk about money. That's business. It's not film. It's not art.
Uh-huh.
But loads of people went to see that, and I don't know whether it was 77 million and the biggest opening of all times or this or that, but it's just that there was a picture where loads of so-called cafeteria Christians stayed away because they didn't want to see anybody hurt.
Uh-huh.
They didn't want to see the Christ beaten up or anything.
Yeah.
But they'll go and they'll just have their chuckles and have good fun at this stinking... I don't even know what to call it. I don't even hate to say the name. The Vinci Code.
Yeah. Well, one last question, Ellen, before we go, and we're thanking you for being here, is you're a long-time, not only fan, but a historian of cinema. How would you compare what Hollywood's producing today as compared to, I guess, a couple of the different golden ages? Some say it's the late 60s, early 70s, or if you go back into the 40s and so forth. What's Hollywood producing today compared to their golden age?
Excellent question, and it's one that, you know, everybody always asks. And you can sound like an old fogey and say, pictures are not what they used to be. But damn it, all you get today is tripe. You, mm-hmm. In your neighborhood, you might have a movie house built with 14 screens.
Uh-huh.
And in all 14 screens, there's not one adult foot film that's mature that grown-ups can go and enjoy.
I know you've complained
And back then, they had scripts, they had writers,
mm-hmm.
that made sense. Good, solid films.
Alan, what are you going to see next?
What am I going to see next?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I think I might give up movie reviewing after seeing The Da Vinci Code.
Alan, how about the movie you saw in Philadelphia last weekend, or last week, I guess it was, about Betty Page?
Now, there's a religious picture for you. The notorious Betty Page. There's somebody who was really a good person. She was in a horrible industry. She began the stripping nude industry. But she was good as gold. She didn't have a mean bone in her body. And she grew up in the South in the churches. And when she retired, she's still with us. She's 83 years old. And she's down she's still with us. And she's down in the South somewhere in her little church preaching the real gospel. And that's somebody to worship.
Alan, you sound like you're emotional.
That's a real goddess.
Yeah.
See, instead of this tripe, the Da Vinci Code.
An ex-stripper is a real religious goddess to you?
Pardon?
She's an ex-stripper, right?
She's an ex-stripper. She began it all. She was the very first one.
So what makes her so religious? She found God when she sensed her own
mortality? Well, she went through a career, but she remained good. All kinds of horrible things happened to her. But she didn't have a mean bone in her body. And she stayed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, after all these years, she has nothing. You know, she's just an old lady that preaches the gospel, the real gospel, while pieces of crap like the Da Vinci Code makes $77 million.
Yeah. Well, Alan, I know that you did a review on the Oscars last year, the Academy Awards. I guess it was earlier this year. And you were very disappointed in just the meagerness of what Hollywood had to offer this year.
I couldn't even think of 10 films that were good. it just gets worse and worse and worse. And I live in an area that's it's not a city area. I'm always starved for good films.
Uh-huh.
One good film every 3 months comes. I jump for joy and go to see it.
Yeah. Now,
and
here
we have the I'm surprised it was only on one screen. We have a theater of 14 screens. I'm surprised it wasn't on all 14 screens. So all the blasphemers and mockers could go and see it and have a good chuckle over the Lord Jesus.
They must have saved those other screens for all the teeny bopper movies. But I know that in one of your reviews earlier this year, you received a lot of heat for the gay cowboy movie. What were your thoughts on that, and should it even have been nominated for an Academy?
Just pure filth. Just pure filth. Even into our cowboy genre comes the gays. You wake up in the morning, and all you hear is gay, 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 until the time you go to sleep. Gay, 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 gay. And it's even comes into our genre. I wish John Wayne was alive.
You know, I was just going to ask you about that.
He would get his six-shooter and shoot those. I don't want to say some of the language that was in that film, but I sent a postcard to a fellow, and he thought it was quite funny.
Well, what would the Duke say these days if he walked into the theater?
The Duke would turn over in his grave. He wouldn't turn over in his grave. He'd be spinning in his grave.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
the way. It's par for the course.
Now we have pissed off the entire homosexual community. If you weren't looking at this Da Vinci Code movie from your religious bias, you know, you're looking at it, it offended you. But say somebody just goes and they're not looking at it from a religious perspective. Would you find it an entertaining movie? Does it have a good plot? Is it interesting?
No, I call it a stinky movie, especially the Da Vinci Code. Jesus, there's nothing to look at. There's nothing to see. Somebody who is not well versed in biblical terms wouldn't understand the word they're saying.
Yeah, I hear it's also very very heavy in dialogue.
Come again?
I hear that it's very heavy dialogue-wise, very dialogue-laden.
It's just so... It's... what's the word?
probably help you out, because the book was a fast-moving plot, and it kept me interested all the way through.
Well, it really burnt my onion.
I just
can't tell you how horrible it is. But, you know, it's the same old story. The more you criticize something, like if you get a bunch of people together and march up and down in front of the movie, that brings more patrons in.
Right.
Now, I feel like doing that. I feel like putting an ad in the paper and saying, Alan Kirkpatrick would like real Christians to come and boycott the Da Vinci Code. But that would just bring another 77 million people in to besmirch the Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, that saved us.
Yeah. Well, Alan, we want to thank you for coming on Wing TV today. Yeah. We look forward to more reviews. And anybody out there that has any comments, criticisms, send them to Wing TV, to either Lisa or my
email. I'm sorry to be so emotional on your wonderful radio show that everybody listens to. Everybody is talking about you too on your radio show, and I'm sorry to be so emotional. I'm not a very good guest, but
no.
I'm just all emotion over this picture, and I shouldn't be, because it's not worth it. It's not worth the skin off your nose or your ass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all I know
is... I sound like a very good Christian, I know, but thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you, too,
I'm
Alan.
I'm honored to be on your show.
We'll talk soon. Have a good afternoon. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the Da Vinci Code. Would you say he would give it, now, Lisa, a positive or negative review? What do you have?
He hated this movie, I think, more than any movie he's reviewed
Of any movie he's ever seen in his life, I think he's hated none more than this one. So there you have it. We're going to get to a lot of other things today, but we ran a little long in that. So what we're going to do is, tomorrow we're going to talk about the latest from Mr. Mike Rupert, and also a couple other figures in the alternative media that are just doing the same old crap over and over again. We're also going to talk more about that 9/11 article that we ran last Friday. It's still on the Wing TV homepage, so if you haven't read it, take a look.
If people's faith is strong in God, then I don't see why a movie like this should affect them the way it affected him. If your faith is strong and you can't be shaken in that, then this movie should roll right off your back and see it for what it is, and it's just a movie.
See, I'm at really a disadvantage because I didn't read the book and I didn't see the movie, so in all
honesty, I read the book, but I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, so I don't have any idea what's in it other than just things you catch in, magazines or on the radio or whatever. But anyway, there you had it from Mr. Alan Kirkpatrick. Always controversial, but always read too. So if you have any comments, he doesn't even have a computer, so send them to us. We'll forward them on. Until tomorrow, tune in to Frank Whalen's show tomorrow morning. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.